This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Always nice to catch up with Mike Krzyzewski, the Hall of Fame basketball coach, 29 seasons at Duke, and he has a brand new book out after leading the United States national team and Olympic team to a gold medal in the Beijing Olympics, and it's called The Gold Standard, Building a World-Class Team. Mike, one of the things I noticed was that you wrote this book along with your daughter, Jamie Spatola. Tell me a little bit about how you decided to go ahead and involve her in this, and what perspective did that bring to this book?
Things. Very first, this is our second book together. We had written a book 3 years ago called Beyond Basketball, a book on words and how to use words, and it became very successful. And we did this while her husband, Chris, was in Iraq. He's a West Point graduate stationed in the Green Zone in Baghdad, and we dedicated it to him. And so I had a lot of confidence in Jamie doing this. And when we decided to do the book on the Olympics, she was actually at a lot of our meetings. She was in Beijing the whole time. And ironically, this book is dedicated to our servicemen and women around the world who taught our Olympic team about service. The very first group, and it's mentioned in the book, teach our team about context and perspective, which we didn't have as a group in the United States, was we asked Bob Brown, who now is a general and has command of troops in Iraq, and he brought three wounded warriors with him to Las Vegas to speak to our team. And Ron, at the end of that meeting, our whole team was crying, and they went up and thanked Colonel Brown at that time. Now he's general, and the three individuals who were there, one was blind, one had lost an eye, and another one was hurt. And after getting hurt, all three of them requested to come back to duty. You know, and that's the perfect example of selfless service, which we needed to be an example. Although we're obviously not in war like these people are, we're playing basketball, but. What better way to learn about selfless service than to have someone from the military speak to you about it?
I would assume, Mike, that after you had the visits from those three soldiers, it made it a little bit easier for Mike Krzyzewski to get his message over and to get the cohesiveness you knew your team had to have in order to be successful at the Olympics. Am I correct in that observation?
No question, Ron. I mean, I could have spoken for a decade, and they would have never felt the depth of those words as they did when, you know, Scotty Smiley, who is blind and is getting his MBA from Duke right now and then going back up to West Point to teach, and how he saved his striker unit from destruction because he stayed long enough to, you know, get rid of a car bomb, but lost his eyesight as a result of it, but he saved his entire unit. And, you know, come on. You mean you can't die for a loose ball? You can't block out. You can't get a rebound. You can't make the extra pass. You know, and those are all easy things. We're playing a game, and here these guys were fighting for our freedom. And it had a huge, huge impact on our basketball team.
Mike, when you take a look at the players that you brought together for that international effort, I'm just wondering, when you looked at them, what was it that you saw, and what did you see along the way in the development of them that really made you feel confident about the execution of what you wanted them to do?
Well, obviously, Ron, you want the most talented players to participate, but you want the most talented players to participate on a team level. And so Jerry Colangelo, who's the head of USA Basketball and the architect of this, he and I, especially him, to initially spoke to each of the players individually and explained what would be required of them and the commitment we needed from them. And we said right away, this is one of our standards. That's why the book is called The Gold Standard, is that we developed standards of how we are going to live. And they were more important than the X's and O's. And one of the standards was that when we were going to speak to each other, we were going to speak to each other and tell each other the truth, look each other in the eye, and we were going to trust one another. And these guys like that. A lot of people, I don't think, tell them the truth right away or look them in the eye. And, as Dwayne Wade said, Coach, we want to play for something bigger than us. We want to play for the name, for the letters on the front of the jersey, not on the back. The names on the back would be the name of the individual players were on, and the three letters on the front would say USA. And he says, Coach, that's what we want to play for.
Mike, I know that when you have your college team, whatever you tell them, they're probably going to do or they're not going to be playing for you. But, of course, you know at the professional level, these are guys that are being paid an awful lot of money to do what they want to do. Did you have to almost break down that kind of mentality in order to try to get them to cohesively play together?
Not as much as you would think. I think the main thing is you can't talk to them for a long period of time and bore them. And you can't be the only one speaking. So I tried to incorporate different voices, Mike D'Antoni, Nate McMillan, Jim Boeheim were my assistants, and we treated them as they should be, like co-head coaches. And then we allowed other players, we had allowed the players to speak. And so it wasn't that hard, really. It wasn't that hard.
I came away with another observation, and again, if I'm wrong about this, Mike, please correct me, and that is that I felt that you also wanted to develop this team not only for what they could do on the basketball court, by the way they were going to be viewed by the world and maybe even by the United States after some of the failures that the U.S. had had before. That's one of the reasons why they were so visual at some of the other events. They were seen supporting other athletes. Am I correct in that observation as well?
You know what? You're so correct. You have such a great perspective of what we were trying to accomplish. It's unbelievable. Our goal, Jerry Colangelo and I, felt that our goal can't be just to win the gold medal. Our goal needs to be to win the respect of our country, to win the respect of the world, and to win the gold medal. And so we started on a three-year program to try to do that. And when the anthem was played and our flag was raised and we were given gold medals on August 24th, 2008, we not only won the gold medal, but in looking around, we knew that we had accomplished the other goal, and that was to win the respect of our country and the world. And that's hopefully what we will continue to do as a USA Basketball as we go into these next 4 years of representing our country, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, that's the other thing I came away with. Knowing you as I do, Mike, I felt that you were trying to do something, and maybe if you hadn't won the gold medal, it might be a little bit looked a little bit differently, but having won the gold medal, that what you did was that you rebuilt the team, but built a foundation that from this point on and going forward, no matter who the coach is, that this foundation will be in place, and hopefully that is what's going to foster future successes in international play.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's just you want to be able to build on continuity. There's never any program for the United States, and therefore no continuity. It's just like with what you've done over the years. You build up amazing equity with your audience. You know, people over the years have listened to you, and they believe in you. And then each year you try to get better and better, but it's built on a great foundation. We did not have any foundation for USA Basketball, and now we do. And the fact that we won gives it even a bigger and stronger foundation. And what we have to do is go into these next 4 years and do it even at a better level. And obviously we can do that at a better level, no matter who is the coach and no matter who is playing. You know, the precedent has been set on how things should be done for USA Basketball.
It certainly can be pointed to the gold medal winning performance, but I'm sure Mike Krzyzewski has some moments that as you reflected back on, that really you kind of smile about, you laugh about, and you kind of think about. What are some of those personal moments over this experience, Mike, that still are with you?
Well, one of the best moments was when we were trying to teach the guys about perspective. We took them all to New York, and we had our team picture, Ferry, in front of Ellis Island. And there's the Statue of Liberty, and we're standing and having our picture taken, and then And, you know, you don't know when the guys get it completely, but Carmelo Anthony, while the picture's being taken, he said, darn, you know, this is really big. You know, this it hit him. And then I talked to the team, and I said, you know, 100 years ago, my grandfather was on Ellis Island, Joseph Pituk, and he's sitting there with two suitcases, and, you know, Wally's on his left and Stosh is on his right, and, you know, he's looking and he's wondering what the heck's going to happen for him. He says to both of them, he says, you know, someday my grandson is going to coach the United States Olympic team. And obviously I'm making this up, but I'm using it as an example. And Wally and Stosh said, you're crazy. You know, that'll never happen. And I told our guys, it's happened. And I said, each of you has a story of somebody who's made sacrifices, a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather, an uncle, or whoever, to put you in a position that we now, on August 24th, when we start that ball game for the gold medal, we will not be playing for ourselves, you know, individually. We'll be playing for all the people who've done the work to put us there. And we're going to win on that day, not just for ourselves, but because we're representing something bigger than ourselves. And that's one of the great moments that I remember. And I can remember crying on August 24th before the game as the national anthem's being played and saying, how lucky am I to be here? How lucky. And then you think of Joseph Pituk on Ellis Island 100 years before. And, you know, if somebody else had not done something before you, where would you be? And if we don't do it right now, where will someone else be? And that's the continuity that we need. And anyway, it's so sorry. I care about all those things. And, you know, obviously the best example of that in our country is the United States military, because, you know, they build on that type of tradition. And that's why we have the best fighting force in the world.
Mike, I've also felt that your approach maybe to basketball is the fact that you use it as a laboratory. And what I mean by that is that you've had, you know, experiences like the West Point and other experiences along the way. And you like going into that laboratory of with athletes and seeing if certain things work and seeing what can make people do things that maybe is beyond their grasp. Am I right about that observation?
Yeah, you're right. You want to test people's limits and see what a group of people together can do and how it might change an individual. And those are all things that I learned at West Point and as an officer in the military, is that you have to be constantly changing your limits to better yourself. And the best way to do that is to be a part of a great team. And, you know, a great team doesn't stand pat. It continues to try to get better. And I love that part of, you know, of what I do. And I gained the experience of doing that from the military.
We only have 90 seconds left, but every time you visited with me, because of that background, that connection to the military, I always ask if you'd like to send a shout out to the troops. And of course, as you know, I'm headed back to Iraq and was recently in Afghanistan. We'll see General Brown very, very shortly. So I'm sure you'd like to send a message out to him and all the troops that are serving.
Well, thank you, Ron. And I do. And first of all, thank you for going over there countless times, you know, to show our troops how much they're appreciated and to do your program from there, which connects them. And I don't think people realize just how important it is for our troops, our men and women serving around the world, to know that they're connected with their great country, the country that they're preserving freedom for. That there's no question that the men and women who are serving, especially in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, are doing yeoman's work. You know, some of them are on their second, third, and maybe even fourth tours. Their commitment to the preservation of our freedom is something that I want them to know, that it's not taken for granted by the people in our country. You know, we appreciate it, and we're served by the very best. And thank you so much for your commitment. And Ron, thanks for your commitment to making sure that they have an understanding of that by going over there so many times.
Well, it's an honor for me to do it, and coming from a military family as I did as well, Mike, I have that same connection and appreciation for their efforts as well. Mike, I'll talk to you from Iraq the next time when we get over there, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank Take you. Care. This is a wonderful book. It's called The Gold Standard, Building a World-Class Team. Mike Krzyzewski, the Hall of Fame coach, the author. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.